Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Let's Coach with Mark and Carol, the show that brings you the best from the professional coaching world for you to use in your everyday life. Thank you for joining myself, Mark Thorne, and my co-host, Carolyn Owens. We're both professional coaches. Carolyn is a career coach. I am an executive and leadership coach. We both love what we do, and we love bringing to our audiences things that we learn as part of the coaching world. So we bring lots of things for all of you to share and to use. We also like to bring shows to the world that talk about small businesses and things that small businesses can use, since most coaches are solopreneurs. We also both believe very, very strongly in paying it forward. It's something that most small business people do as a matter of course. They just love to make the places that they live better. And that's why they are involved in paying it forward. But both Carol and I believe in that. I'm heavily involved in the nonprofit world. Carolyn is also a big believer in making paying it forward count. And that's something that she and I are going to be talking about with our guests today. Rachel Harris and Jen Sterling, who have a very nice nonprofit called Let's Help Kids over in Northern Virginia, D.C., and Maryland. So should be a very interesting show. I've been busy recently doing one of the things that both Carol and I also like to do. I had a very fun engagement with some folks in Delaware, working with them on Myers-Briggs and the Myers-Briggs type indicator. It was a heck of a lot of fun. We got to do some typing with the folks in the class, and also talk a lot about Myers-Briggs and validate their results. It was just a hoot, and it's something that Carol and I are going to do together here in the not too distant future. Is we're going to actually do a show and talk to you about Myers-Briggs. It's a really wonderful tool for people to use for self-understanding, to help overall communication with people in their lives, be it personal or professional. We also have the ability to use it for not only communication, but also for conflict resolution. It's a great conflict resolution tool. So Carol and I are going to put a show on sometime in the not-too-distant future that talks about Myers-Briggs and what Myers-Briggs can do for you. Like I said, it's one of the favorite things for me to do. Waiting for Carolyn to get situated in the studio here. She's sitting down as we speak. Carolyn, how are you? Hold on. I hit the wrong mic button. Carolyn, are you there?
I'm there. Gee, you missed my whole intro.
I might have. I've done that before. I'll tell you that it was a software glitch this time, okay?
So what I had said was, I was saying good morning or afternoon to all our listeners where they might be. Excited to be here. It's going to probably be a rainy day here in the DMV area, but a beautiful day nonetheless.
Well, good. I was talking about Myers-Briggs and the fact that we're going to bring a Myers-Briggs show to folks here in the not-too-distant future. Again, something you and I both love to do. What we're going to do today, though. So what's been going on with you? You've been staying busy as usual.
Yes, staying busy, but glad to be home for a while. I've attended this past weekend the DMV Business and Career Conference and Expo, where I got to hear Natalie, a recurring guest on our show, Natalie Forrest, speak. She has her new book coming out, Revolutionize. So it's great to see her, as well as event planner Tamika Joseph-Smith. And she helped put the event together, and we're looking at doing some stuff together in the future that I'm excited about and look forward to announcing with Natalie, as well as with Tamika. But the biggest challenge for me right now, and of course I hate to use the word challenge, I like to say opportunity, but this time I'm going to say challenge, is, you know, next week my love of my life, my dear son, starts high school. So it's time to cut some more of those strings loose as he heads on out to, you know, a new chapter in his life. And it's been a great summer. You know, I see all these parents talking about how they can't wait for their kids to go to school next week. And I'm one of those ones that I'm like, you know, I'm not too excited about him going off to school next week because we've had so much fun and enjoying each other this summer. So that's the good thing. I always talk about how great our relationship is. And so for me, it's one of those bittersweet days where, you know, he's growing up and he's moving on, and I'm so happy and excited for him. But we've had a cool summer. We got to do a lot of great things, and we do all year long. So, but with Infinity Coaching business-wise, you know, by next week I should be sharing some things that are coming out, some live events that are happening and different things. So I'm excited about that. Busy fall ahead, getting recertified in some areas, working with new clients, you know, just a lot of exciting things going on.
And son is such a great kid. You know, I commented to Caroline, she and I were chatting on the phone the other day, and I heard this booming voice in the background, and I haven't talked to the one in probably 6 months or so, but I couldn't believe what he sounded like, because he doesn't sound like a kid anymore. So pretty darn amazing.
Yeah, because you've known him since elementary school, so.
Yeah. They grow fast, as I know, because both of my kids, are, those of you who don't know, are married and out of the house. And so lots of fun challenges with that. But anyway, so Carolyn, real quick, before we get to our guests, we're going to get to the guests here in a second. How can we get in touch with you?
If people want to get in touch with me, they can reach me via cell phone or text message at 901-218-7664, or you can email me at cowens@infinitycoaching.net, or you can find me all over social media. I have been having a blast with Twitter lately. That's my favorite social media site, if you can't tell. And that's at Carol R. Owens. That's the best place to connect with me. But you can also find me on Facebook at infinitycoaching.co, or even friend me at Carolyn Owens. You'll see my lovely face there. Mark, how can I get in touch with you?
You can reach me at 301-717-1185, or you can find me at dmthorne@verizon.net, or, of course, you can find me all over social media also. But easy to get in touch with. And if you would like to talk to us today live and on the air between noon and 1 on Wednesday, you can reach the show at 602-753-1726. And if you're ready, I'm ready to bring our guest on the air.
I am ready, yes.
Rachel and Jen, you guys are live and on the air on Let's Coach with Mark and Carolyn. Welcome to the show.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Well, thanks for having us.
Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah, thank you for joining us. We have great connections today, which is always a nice thing when you're doing the show, and doesn't always work out that way. But thanks for calling in. I met Jen. She is part of a networking group that I do in Annapolis every Thursday, and I actually did some work with her and her nonprofit board, Let's Help Kids. Of which Rachel is the founder. I didn't get to meet Rachel that day. She was tied up doing some other things. A very busy lady. But welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
Rachel, what led you to found Let's Help Kids?
When I was younger, I read this book in my classroom, and it was called Have You Filled the Bucket Today? And it was all about how everyone carries around an invisible bucket, and if you're nice to them and you do good things, it fills their bucket with good feelings. And if you're mean to them, it takes out good feelings from their bucket. So I felt like I needed to help fill people's buckets.
And so how do you do that?
Through our fundraisers, we get money, and when caseworkers or teachers will call in, they say, like, oh, this little boy really, really wants to play soccer, but he can't afford a soccer ball. We would go online and find a soccer ball for him, and then we'd send it to them or bring it to that caseworker or teacher.
You know, I think it's important that our listeners know. Rachel, how old are you?
I'm 11.
See, I think it's wonderful that at 11 years old, you've already learned about giving back and filling buckets with positive things.
Well, I didn't learn that. Well, I learned that earlier. I learned that when I was 6 when I read that book. Because I started this company when I was 6.
Okay, did everybody just hear that? She started her company when she was 6. Now, you had the help of some special people in your life, right?
Mm-hmm. I had help with my aunt, my mom, my dad, a lot of people that were really close to me and friends of mine.
And so someone else is on the line with you today, and that is your mom?
Mm-hmm.
Jen?
Yes.
So when she came, how did she come to you with this idea to do this?
Well, she had talked about the book they read, but it was when they did a project where they were talking about Martin Luther King and about having a dream. And she had done this project in kindergarten where they had to describe their dream. And her dream was to be a big boss, an entrepreneur, but to be a big boss who had a company that gave toys to kids whose parents couldn't afford them. And when your kid comes home with something like that, you sit there in shock first, then you're really proud, and then you're like, oh my gosh, we have to do this. So we just jumped in. We decided, why not? You know, who says you have to be older than 6 to do something like that?
So Rachel, when I did the work with the Let's Help Kids board, one of the things that absolutely struck me about working with all these adults in the room was that you were the boss. you were not the figurehead. You weren't just somebody out there. You were the boss. Because you weren't there, there were things that we weren't able to do because they weren't going to happen until you said they were okay. So what's it like for you to be working in this very adult world where all these people sort of work for you?
It's sort of like an experience to learn for later in life. It's like an early learning experience, and not a lot of kids get to learn that early they only get to learn it when they're adults, maybe. But I think I am very lucky to be able to learn this so, like, early on, so I know about sort of what to do with my company in the future.
So
I do think it's one of her favorite things to tell people that I work for her.
Yeah, because it's the only time I get to tell her what to do.
I can sort of identify with that dream. So you guys have a lot going on with Let's Help Kids right now.
Yeah.
Tell us about some of the things that are happening at the moment.
Let's see. This coming not this weekend, but the weekend after, we have our annual art auction, which takes place in Reston, Virginia, at a gallery in Reston Town Center, where a lot of local artists, and some actually not local, but a lot of local artists donate a piece of their work, and we hang it all in the gallery, and that night we have a cocktail party and auction it all off, and 100% of the proceeds go to Let's Help Kids to help support the gifts that we're trying to do, the happiness gifts. The day after that, we will be participating in the Redskins and Eastern Motors auto show. We'll have a booth there, so if you're there, please come say hello to us. Just to spread the word, Eastern has been very supportive of us and wants to help us get in front of a lot more people so that they're aware of what we're doing and can help support it. And we're also collecting Halloween costumes right now. Every other year, we do a big costume giveaway for families that can't afford to buy Halloween costumes for their kids. Last year, when we did this, we gave out about 480 costumes, and we're hoping to collect enough to do almost 600 next year. So those are the things that are happening right now.
And you guys were traditionally more or less Northern Virginia-based, did a little bit of work in Maryland and a little bit in D.C., but that's starting to change?
It is starting to change. We started in Northern Virginia because obviously that's where Rachel is and where she's growing up, so it was our immediate community and our immediate contacts. But we have definitely expanded as word has spread, and we are now supporting kids and organizations in D.C. and Maryland as well.
So, Rachel, go ahead, Carol.
You started doing this 5 years ago. So what was the biggest challenge getting started?
I guess that the biggest challenge was making ourselves known as a new company, sort of out on the street, just like trying to make ourselves known and let people know that we're here to help. We're not just one of those like companies who doesn't really do anything about it.
Yeah, it's amazing how hard it is to get people to understand we want to give stuff to the kids in their programs. To this day, I have organizations that won't return my phone call because they think I'm trying to sell them something.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So the ones that do know and do respond and do participate are diehard fans, and they spread the word. So we will more often than not get into a new organization because somebody there calls us because they've heard about something we did for a colleague. And then we can work into the system that way. But anybody I cold call and say, hey, we'd like to help support the kids in your program, they all think it's crazy, you know, so they don't call me back.
Wow.
I would agree with Rachel, though. I think the hardest part is getting people to know we're here. There's so many organizations doing such good work that to get the word out, both on the service side and the people we're helping, but also on the fundraising side of people we'd like to provide the funds that help us to keep operating and to keep doing the work that we're doing is important. I mean, we're 100% volunteer. We have no staff. So all of the work that we do is supported by the funds donated to the organization and funds, obviously, that we and the board members put into the organizations ourselves. But it's certainly not enough to do all of the work. I mean, in the last 12 months, our requests have doubled. So it's
wow.
The word is spreading. We need the funding to double as well.
So you guys do, in addition to the events you've mentioned, you guys also do a big gala every year?
Yes, we do.
So what's the gala like, Rachel?
Well, it's a dual gala, which we have like a room for the kids and a room for the adult to sort of get away, have a nice dinner, sit down, talk with their friends. There's a lot of dancing. There's a lot of nice food, desserts. And it's sort of just a fun time where you can just sort of relax, hang out with your friends, talk, and just sort of, you know, be yourself.
We try and set it up so that the grown-ups get to feel a little bit like kids. Generally, there's fun games to play, et cetera. The last one we did in March of this year, the kids' room was all glow in the dark, and they were doing games and face painting and all kinds of stuff. And a lot of the
mini
adults themselves in that room, they were having a lot of fun.
Well, you can't let the kids have all the fun.
Exactly.
You've already set the date for the next gala.
Yes, it will be the 12th of March next year, and it will take place at the Westin Arlington, which is in the Ballston area in Northern Virginia.
Other than you have the gala and you have the auction coming up, what are other ways that people can help you keep your dream alive?
There are several ways that groups can get involved, or individuals and families and after-school clubs. There's lots of opportunities. We try to list them on our website to give people ideas. There are simple things like signing up your Amazon account to something called Amazon Smile, and every time you make a purchase on Amazon, Amazon will take a small percentage of that and donate it to Let's Help Kids. There is a link with information about that on our website. There are ways that corporations can get involved. They can do internal fundraisers. They can do volunteer days where they get together and help us stuff bags that we give to local shelters to give to kids. They're happiness bags, so when a kid enters the system, they're given something that's theirs. They are also, there are bucket brigade clubs, which are an after-school program that can be held at the local schools where we give them ideas of things that they can do as kids to make a difference in their community. It's not necessarily just to support us. They can select their own organizations, but we will guide them and give them some advice, and Rachel can come in and talk to those groups and show them that, you know, she's a kid too, and this is how she got started, and really encourage others to do the same. Because in addition to supporting children through our actual activities and gifts, we want to teach other children that they can do what Rachel did, that there are no age limits on being compassionate and giving back.
So, Rachel, you're very much invested, very much involved in this. How much time do you spend working on Let's Help Kids business?
I'd say a lot. I like to help out picking out the gifts, and sometimes I go to the shelters and we drop the toys off. It's just, we normally don't get to see the kids, but on my first time I did get to see the kid because he wanted a stand-up base and he couldn't afford one. So we got to go in, take pictures with his family, and he was really, really happy. And it was just a really nice feeling. It sort of made me want to get more involved.
Rachel, what keeps you motivated? What keeps you going? That, you know, most kids would have been like, okay, I'm done. Mom, you take over. But you keep going, and as you said, you're the boss. What keeps you going?
What keeps me going is that I know that there's always some kid out there who's going to need something to play with. And every day I look over my inventories and think that there's going to be some kid out there that would die to, like, that would, like, want these toys so bad, and I have toys and they don't. And it's not fair. It's really not fair. And that's what keeps me going, is that I know that there's always going to be someone out there who's going to need help.
When you think, are there times where you think, gosh, I'd rather be playing with my friends than doing this work? Because it's just like having a job.
There are some times where I get lazy and don't want to do it. But I always end up coming back and helping anyway, most of the time.
So you guys have talked about the website. Why don't you let our listeners know where that is and how they can track you down?
So the URL for the website is letshelpkids.org. There is information there, as I had mentioned earlier, about ways to get involved. There's also information about our events. We also have a tracker along the bottom of the site that lists how many gifts have gone out. It's probably lagging behind about 2 weeks at any given time. So we've certainly done, I know, for example, 6 more bikes in the last couple of weeks that aren't listed there. Also, the art auction that is happening on the 29th has a website we've just posted called Art Auction for Happiness. I believe that is also .org. I don't have it in front of me. And we have posted all of the art that's been donated and is going to be auctioned off so that anyone who's unable to attend the event can send us an email and let us know a max bid that they'd like to make on a piece of art, and we'll go ahead and act as their proxy that evening to help them try and win the piece of art they're interested in.
That's awesome.
You talked about some of the challenges you face as far as fundraising and keeping things going. But you're all, like I said, you're also expanding a bit from a geographic standpoint. What are your biggest challenges as you've grown the nonprofit?
I would say the biggest challenge would be making sure that we are, like we mentioned earlier, that we are getting the word out about who we are and what we're doing. One of the ways we are talking about doing that is moving one of our events, probably the art auction, up into Maryland next year so that people start to hear the buzz and hear about us and know who we are, so that we can sort of spread out the activities and make sure that the word starts to spread. I think that that really, I mean, there are a lot of challenges, and obviously funding will be one as where requests grow, but the biggest one we have right now is really just getting the word out, is really letting people know who we are and how we work. And you know, when we first started, we would get calls directly from parents who found the website, and they would say, you know, I want you to buy my kid this, that, or the other thing. And we would have to say, you know, sorry, we're happy to work with your caseworker, but we had to put a guideline in place so that we would know that children coming to us were truly kids that needed our help and not, unfortunately, someone whose family might be playing the system. So that would be another thing I think is a challenge as, you know, as a nonprofit that is not started by a professional nonprofiter. You know, I've never run a nonprofit before, neither has Rachel. We had to put those kinds of guidelines in place to make sure that the money we raise truly goes to the kids that need it most.
I also think that another challenge is making sure that the people who we help know that we're not just trying to buy things from them or sell things to them, that I want them to know that we actually really want to help and we really care about what we're doing, and we really want to help.
So, what are your favorite success stories? I mean, you know, you guys have touched quite a few people. Jen, I've talked to you a lot about what you do. I've looked on the website, but there's been a lot of people who've been touched by what Let's Help Kids does. What are your favorite stories?
Probably some of my favorite stories are from the first GIF with the stand-up bass. And I think my absolute favorite, though, is when we get letters from the caseworkers or teachers who write us a letter about, this kid was so sad. Like, they really wanted to go see the movie Frozen, and they really just wanted to see it so bad. And then we finally gave them movie tickets. We gave them movie tickets to go see it. And when they came back, we got a letter once that when they went to go see Frozen, they came back and the little girl was singing Let It Go all the way home.
Yeah, the caseworker sent us this amazing letter and spoke at our gala a couple years ago about this family and this little girl and how sad and upset both the children and the mom had been with things going on in their lives at that point. And that it was the little boy came in and said to the caseworker about how his sister had been singing the song and somehow knew all the words, and that the event meant so much to them to go as a family and see this. And he mentioned that it was the first time his mom had laughed in a long time. And it's very powerful when you hear things like that and know that something as simple as movie tickets and a gift card for some popcorn, you know, can make such a difference, not only in a child's life, but in their entire family's life.
And that also is another thing that keeps me going.
Absolutely.
Keeps both of us going.
There's a big philosophy piece that you guys have, and you talk about it on the website, and that, you know, there are lots of agencies and other charities that provide needs. You guys sort of provide a different kind of niche for people. Talk about that a little bit.
Sure. So, you know, there are a lot of needs that everyone knows you have. You have to have food, you have to have shelter, you have to have clothing, education is nice. You know, these are all things that most grown-ups and grown-up organizations consider necessities, and they work very hard to provide those to families in need. Our feeling is that from a kid's point of view, there are certain things you need to still feel like a kid. I mean, you get it when your family is stressed, and you get it when they're having to fight through a challenge and, you know, money may be tight and a parent lost a job and maybe you've lost your house. There are a lot of things that are important for your family to focus on, but you need to be able to feel like a kid. You need to be able to feel like your friends. You don't want to feel that you're different somehow in a bad way. And so our philosophy is that kids should be able to feel like kids. You know, when all of your friends have a bike and they're running around like crazy in the summer and going to the pool and you know, seeing the latest movie, the Disney movie that's out, you should be able to do those things so that you can have those conversations and be in the know with your friends and know what's happening just at a base level. I'm not saying every kid needs to have a PlayStation. I think that's overkill. But some basic necessities like having a bicycle and going to the swimming pool with your own towel and being able to see the latest movie and having a Halloween costume, and those things matter when you're a kid, and they matter to how you feel as a child. And, you know, a lot of damage can be done when a kid is teased mercilessly because they never get to go out for Halloween, or they never had a bike, or they never see the latest movies. And it's traumatic for a child to have that going on. And so to have those things that all of their friends have and do those things that their friends do gives them a lot of confidence in themselves and allows them to be on a more even playing field so that they can focus on those other things, like helping their family emotionally get through the challenges and focusing on their schoolwork so that they can be in a better place as they get older. It's important to have all of that when you're a kid.
It's also important that the weight of all of that isn't resting on the kid's shoulders. It's not something that should ever happen to a kid for that to rest on their shoulders and to think about that all day while they're getting teased.
So having done this now for 5 years, have you seen a change in the type of request or the need that's out there?
We help with a lot of things. Every once in a while, there's something different. Most of the time, it's soccer ball, stuff for sports, maybe movie tickets, going to the pool, getting a bike. It's sort of the things that sort of, as my mom was saying, that help you just be a kid. It's like those basic necessities that help you be a kid every once in a while.
Yeah, occasionally something will come in. We'll get a phone call, and a caseworker at one of the local schools will be like, you know, I don't know if you can do this, but here's the situation. And we have received those where it's a child a little bit outside the range we normally support. We're normally trying to support kids that are 6 years old through sixth grade. And we, for example, got a request this past June for a girl who was in eighth grade, and the caseworker at the middle school knew about us because she also worked at the elementary school. And she called and she said, you know, we have this situation. I don't know if you can help, but she's been accepted into this very elite music camp, and her parents were, you know, very supportive of her being able to get into it, but they haven't been able to come up with enough money to cover the tuition, and it looks like they're not going to be able to send her. They need $200. You know, can you help? And we have a very special group of anonymous donors who provide one-off support for this kind of thing, things that are a little bit outside the norm for us, but that somebody really needs something special and they need it in a short period of time. And so I called one of those donors and said, look, here's the situation. Can you help? And it was instantaneous. You know, absolutely. Where do I send a check? And so I was able to call the caseworker back, and she started to cry on the phone. She had become so invested in this little girl and her family and being able to make this happen, and being able to say yes to things like that feels really good.
So what are you, you guys are expanding. What do you see as the next big thing that you're going to be doing as you grow and move this forward?
I think probably the next big thing, which would be really awesome, is if we got to spread to new areas and help more kids there. Because as I was saying earlier, that there's always some kid who needs help somewhere.
I would agree with that. We do get calls a lot from other cities, and we have a couple people who have expressed interest in opening a Let's Help Kids in their city. And we've been working through trying to help them do that. It's something we can't necessarily run from here, at least not at our current all-volunteer size. But if a group of volunteers in another city can sort of hit some basic benchmarks and get some basic funding to get started, we are so happy to help them do that. So that would certainly be something we would like to do. And I know that some of our events, much like I said, we'd like to move one of our fundraising events into Maryland. Another event we do every year is Ice Cream for Breakfast Day, which is the first Saturday in February every year. This is a national holiday. Everybody
knows it.
So we have always had it at one location. That's something we would like to do more of. We would like to have multiple locations celebrating Ice Cream for Breakfast Day, and the money is donated back into the organization. So if we can get locations in Virginia and Maryland and D.C. and beyond to start doing that, that will also spread the word, spread the funding, spread, you know, awareness very quickly. And certainly money can be designated when it's donated. You know, we have an organization out in Loudoun County, Virginia, that is a business organization, and each year they decide who to give their money to. And when they donated it, they said, please use this for children in our community. So we designated their funds, and they only go to children in that county. So we could do that very easily as we start to spread and have funds that operate in different cities and different states, to make sure that everybody always has funding available if they have a need.
I love ice cream, so I'm looking forward to ice cream.
Put it on your calendar.
That's another one where grown-ups get to be kids. Who doesn't like ice cream?
I'm thinking, that sounds like fun. And your events, when you see the photos and the different things that you've done, they're fun as well. I mean, just the everyone smiling, the joy and excitement. And so you can see the true sincerity and love behind your program and the things that you're doing.
Love it.
So, Jen, you know, running a nonprofit is hard. I do some of that work myself. Because of the nonprofit things that I'm involved in. What are some of the challenges that you face as you're making this work with what is an all-volunteer board?
Oh, goodness, where do I start? When you have an all-volunteer board, obviously we are not their number one priority. And everybody means well and everybody cares, but it's really hard to always be able to follow through and deliver on a promise to the nonprofit if something comes up in your full-time paying job or something comes up with your family, then oftentimes we take a back seat. so the hardest thing, I think, is trying to make sure that all of our events, for example, go off without a hitch with all of their moving parts and all of the things that have to be planned and set up and executed, because oftentimes the volunteers involved aren't able to complete the tasks. And so you have to be able to jump in and do it. And so being that I'm the executive director and I report to Rachel, I have to be able to make sure this stuff happens, even if a volunteer can't come through with it. So I spend a lot of time putting my full-time job aside and my paying job so that I can execute on this. And I will do it, and I will continue to do it, and I love to do it, but it is a challenge because, you know, I have clients with my regular job that need things too. So finding enough hours in the day to make sure that everything happens the way it's supposed to is challenging. I haven't reached breaking point, but it's challenging.
Also, in my perspective, it's also hard for people who are new and just helping out, like in volunteer groups, to look at it's probably hard. In my perspective, it's sort of hard to get them to realize, like, I'm the boss. They're like, I feel like they sort of overlook that they sort of look at me and just see, like, an 11-year-old kid. But I'm not, and it's hard to prove that to them, that I'm not some 11-year-old kid who's going to sit there and watch to see what they do.
Right. Right. So at board meetings and at events, you know, she's the one who generally speaks for the organization. We go and do a presentation, and all of the people are looking at me. I'm like, no, 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 I'm just the driver. She's the one who's here to talk to you.
So, Rachel, when that happens, when you know, when people aren't, they're kind of looking at you and thinking, okay, you're the kid, I'm not going to listen to you, how do you handle that?
A lot of stress balls. but I like to handle it by, normally it's sort of funny to see the look on their faces sometimes when I stand up at the gala and give a speech to congratulate everyone for coming, telling them a little bit about the company, and just seeing their face, like their mouth just drop open. Like they wouldn't believe me. It is sort of, after that, I sort of gain their respect and they understand that I'm there to help. And I'm like the one who's going to be talking and helping them with what they're doing.
You know, Rachel, one of the things that I personally run into a problem with as I'm working on nonprofit things is hooking people, getting them really and truly interested in what it is that we're doing. What's your hook? How do you hook people and get them on board with what you're doing with Let's Help Kids?
I think it sort of starts to lure them when they see that I'm a kid and I started this when I was 6. But I think the real thing is telling them some of the stories of what we've done, what we plan to do, and what we are looking forward to doing. So I think that by showing them that, it seems that they've always wanted to help make a difference with us. And so we are not going to stop that. We want to encourage it. So that's normally when we ask them, like, do you want to get involved and how?
Yeah, I think that we had a board member who pulled me aside at one point and said, you know, she got involved because she cared about it. She was impressed by Rachel. She really liked the concept of what we were doing. But she said she didn't truly get it until she facilitated one of the gifts. And she was the one who took the request and figured out what to provide and delivered it. And she said it was life-changing, that it showed her so clearly what it was she had seen and was interested in to begin with, but then she felt it. And she said, I will never be the same. So I think that is, people just have to do it. They have to fill some buckets, and then they understand what it feels like.
Yeah, it always amazes me that people when they think about nonprofits and giving, they always look for the big thing. And oftentimes it's the little thing that makes such a large difference, which is one of the things I love about what you guys do.
Yeah, and it's often the little thing that's so easy to do.
Mm-hmm. Otherwise,
yeah, it doesn't have to be a big grand gesture. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I was just saying, the little things that people normally look over because they think that it takes so much more, and that I'm like, I'm not some sort of Superman and like doing all this stuff. I realize I need help, and I realize that it's not all this huge like things to do. I just have to look for the little things that sort of help me and push me along. Like just that one letter that we got that we were talking about earlier is enough to push me on to keep going, to realize that people are happy and really glad of what I'm doing. And that sort of makes me realize that, like, other people are glad that I'm doing this. I want to keep doing it.
Rachel, Jen has told me that you are a master at working a room. Do you have any tips for those of us that also have to do it and don't do it as well as you?
Well, probably one of the main things is imagine everyone else in their underpants. Or imagine that they're younger than you, and you're sort of like, I've always really enjoyed like pretending to teach people, like playing around, pretending I'm a classroom teacher. So if you remember, I sort of try to imagine that I am a teacher trying to teach these kids or these people about helping people fill their buckets and telling them that like I'm not the only person who can do this. You guys can help start your own companies. You can do whatever you want, really. It just requires a bunch of being really like set on it. You have to be very persistent. And also helping me to talk in front of them is that I realize that like I'm not faking. I'm not reading off some paper that someone else wrote for me that says like you have to say this, because it's not me. I just realize that there's either if I don't do it then, I'm going to have to do it later and sort of want to do it then, because if you had to eat a frog every day, would you rather do it in the morning and get it over with, or wait till you have to eat it later and think about it all day? So I just realized that like it's then or never.
I don't think I've ever heard it described quite that way, but the image works.
Yes, eat the frog.
Do it.
So what message, we're running up on the end of the show here. What message would you guys like to leave with our listeners?
I guess we'll each say one. Mine is to definitely take this into consideration that no matter what age you are, you can always make a difference, and we definitely want anyone who heard this or anyone who we've helped to pass this message on, help other people, because there's always someone out there who is going to need someone's help, and you could be that person who they help.
Yeah, and yeah, I would back that up completely. If every little bit counts, whether it's the little action that you take to help somebody, whether it's the $5 that a little girl takes out of her piggy bank and sends us to say, please help somebody else, which just makes you want to cry when it happens, it's the little things. Every single bit matters.
No matter what it is, everything you do towards someone else to make their life better will always make an impact.
Carolyn, I always save the last question for you.
I mean, I'm just very, happy to have opportunity to have spoken with you, Rachel, because, you know, so many people, they're adults before they see and realize some of the things that you're talking about, and even being comfortable to walk into the room, and as Mark would say, you're captivating the room and being able to speak to an audience, and just what you're doing for kids. And you know, I often just say it starts with that one small step. And although some people would say, well, you're just doing this one thing for this kid or something, but you're really making a true difference in their life. And by when they grow up, they're going to be able to say, okay, now I'm in this position where I can give back because someone helped me one day, and the differences that you're making. You know, when you there's so many other questions that I could ask you. And so I would say fear is a thing that holds people back. But you don't seem to have any fear, and you're very confident. And that's what holds a lot of young kids back from achieving their dreams. So what would you say to them about how they tackle and deal with fear?
I'd say for everyone out there who is listening, that to tackle your fear, you never really get over your fear. It's always, you can overcome it, but it's always still there. But a new one will take its place. But you can sort of work your way through them until you realize that no one else, like I am myself, I don't really need to care, like standing in front of a room, I don't have to care what other people think of me. This is what I think, and this is what I'm going to say. I'm not going to say this just because some person told me. You have to realize to get over your fear is the best way to get over your fear is to do the thing that you're scared of. Like, if you are scared of heights, I'd go on a roller coaster. It's just, if you're scared of the ocean, I'd go swim in it. But the thing is just to conquer it. You have to realize, you have to stare fear right in the face and be like, I won't let you control my whole life. I'm moving on, and then conquer it, and you'll conquer it.
I mean, there are lots of adults, lots of my clients have never learned that lesson. They take the counsel of their fears, and nothing ever happens.
You should never be afraid of saying what you want or being who you are. It's the way that you were born, the way that your mind works, and no one else should be able to tell you any different.
Hear, hear. Well said.
So before you do go, could you please give out the website address again, because there people can find all about your upcoming events. They can donate. You don't have to attend the fundraiser. There's a way to donate there on the site. So could you please give that information again?
The website is www.letshelpkids.org with no capitals, and there's no spaces in Let's Help Kids.
Okay. Well, thank you both very much. Any last-minute comments before we close the show for the day?
Nope.
Thank you for having us.
Well,
yeah, definitely.
Thank you so much.
And I will be seeing you guys, so thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
I'll be
bye.
Seeing you too. Thank
okay,
you.
Okay, bye.
So, Carolyn, great show, lots of fun.
Yes, I'm definitely looking forward to attending some of their events in the future with my son. I think we have a blast at the gala. So I'm looking forward to attending that and supporting a lot of the things they do. I think making that one small step that they take and the difference and the impact it makes on a child's life, you know, I think that's just incredible. So, and especially, you know, I want to remind our audience, she started this at 6 years old. So, I mean, just the growth and everything that's occurred for them in the past 5 years and what's going to continue to grow in the future. So, awesome. So glad they were with us today.
Well, great. Well, real quickly, we've got about 5 minutes left. You want to give your contact information back out?
Yes. If you would like to get in contact with me, you could reach me via email at cowens@infinitycoaching.net, or you can find me all over social media on Facebook at infinitycoaching.co. Or you can friend me there, Carolyn Owens. Or you can also find me on Twitter at Carol R. Owens. That's where I've been spending most of my time on social media lately, so find me there on Twitter. And you can also text me at 901-218-7664. And, Mark, how can they get in touch with you?
You can reach me at 301-717-1185. You can email me at dmthorne@verizon.net, or you can find me on social media. I'm on Facebook and on Twitter and a couple other places, but those are, Facebook and Twitter are the two big ones. So anyway, but that's how you can track me now. So we're lining things up for next week. We hope to see you all and have you rejoin us next week for next week's show. And Carolyn, anything else before we close out?
No, just excited for what's to come. Woohoo!
It's a great ride. Carolyn,
yes.
If it ain't...
Mark?
Can you hear me? I said,
no.
Carolyn, if it ain't broke...
Make it better.
See
Have
y'all
an
next
awesome
week.
Blessed week. Bye, everybody.